Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket. Gather round. It's one of the great weeks on the calendar, second year in, and Adelaide's finest export is Kane Corns. Welcome.
Brownie, good to be here. Big weekend of footy. Absolutely. And a couple of must-win games for two teams, which I want to speak about today.
Kate McCarthy looking dashing in pink.
Yeah, Brownie, it's a good colour, isn't it? Looking forward to Gather Round. I'm really excited. I wasn't there last year and I've got a ticket on the plane this year, so excited for the atmosphere of Gather Round.
And a slate blue sort of colour for you, Isaac.
Not happy with it.
No, I do like it. You look great. You look great. Yeah, did you miss playing on Easter Monday?
I didn't. No, I didn't. And it was really weird going there because I walked down underneath. I went to the Hawthorn rooms, then I popped into the Geelong rooms. Then I went up and did a bit of media and a few different things. And it was actually quite nice just sitting back and watching it and going into the Geelong rooms after the game and seeing the boys all sore. And
It's not all about you, Isaac, but it was the Isaac Smith Cup. So let's talk about the premiership market. And the Giants are up in the top end and they're going really well. They are the favourites at the moment. Sydney dropped off a little bit after their loss. Carlton are at $7. Melbourne, I think, are a good price there. Collingwood got out to 12. Now they're back into 9 after beating Brisbane Lions, all the way down to Fremantle, who are 3-0. So too Geelong, 3-0 going well. And the Western Bulldogs found some form, albeit against the Kangaroos, so they should have beaten them. And then the Brownlow medal. The Brownlow medal is interesting because Tom Green, he'll get 30 disposals every week. Isaac Heaney could have 7 or 8 votes so far. Caleb Sarong, the Bont, Dacos, Matty Rowell, all the way down to Petrarca. Anything you like there?
I like the Bont. If any player deserves one, it's Marcus Bontempelli. And when the Western Bulldogs win, he gets the votes. But not sure whether they'll win enough games. And I do like Geelong for the premiership markers as well. I think they're a good value.
Nice. Okay, Adelaide up against Melbourne. Adelaide kicked their season off last year and gather around a massive thumping of Carlton. They almost need the same thing here. They're going pretty ordinary at the moment. Their skill level is terrible. They can't kick goals. They come up against the Demons outfit as flying.
I need to apologise to you because you doubted Adelaide and their credentials this year. I was sort of, they're good. You haven't given them the credit they deserve. They've been poor.
Yeah, they're very poor.
What have you seen that the rest of us haven't?
Well, I don't really like their midfield makeup. I like Dawson. I feel like they've got accumulators in there that actually don't have much impact on the game, and their defence just isn't old enough, experienced enough and strong enough to compete. And I saw an interesting stat on the weekend that they only used 59 of their 75 interchanges. I'm not sure what's going on there, but you need to run your interchanges right to the bottom.
It is interesting.
And get the best out of every player and get the most out of every player.
So their finals odds at 375. Are they done? Are they shot?
I don't think they can make the top 8 from here. I don't think the games have shown enough of glimpses. There's teams that are still winless or that have won one game that have shown really good glimpses of what they can do. I haven't really seen that from Adelaide. I think, yes, they've got a good midfield makeup, but at either end of the ground, they're so susceptible. Their forwards aren't connecting with those mids, and their defenders are sort of just in the middle of nowhere at times. And they've lost Miller as well for the year, who was arguably probably their key defender that took the best forward, and he's ruptured his patella, so there's more trouble for them in their defensive line as well.
Fogarty, Tex, the skill level hasn't been great, so it'd be a tough forward line to play in at the moment. But he started the year so well last year. So 2+ goals, which he does on average at the Adelaide Oval. So you could almost pin him in for 2, but potentially Stephen May coming back is an issue for him.
Yeah, because he kicks his goals in multiple ways. He can do it on the lead, he can do it from the forward ruck, and he can bomb them from outside 50. So it's a good bet at $2. He's had some personal issues with his family and some tragedy there, so that may have affected him, and he's coming back from that back injury. So at some point he's going to click in. He kicked 70+ goals last year. I think 2+ is good value.
On the weekend, their efficiency going inside 50 was 31%. So if you're a key forward or a small forward and you want the ball kicked to your advantage, that's just not happening at Adelaide at the moment. So I think the easy thing is to question their forward line. I think you need to look a little bit deeper.
So what you like about Clayton Oliver, he can find the footy and he's turning into one of the stories of this season. I think above anybody else, obviously Max Gawn is the leader there, but this guy being able to get the footy and what he's done early in the season, I think is galvanising the group. That's what he's done his last 5 against Adelaide.
Look at his record against the Crows, and we know that they'll just run their own race. There's his numbers, you know, 30 you probably lock him in for every week, so that's $1.86. 35 he may have a huge day. Weather's going to be really good, prime time stage, so him and Petrarca and Finally, you get a stack of the footy.
Culture-wise, Melbourne, they were off the charts in the off-season with how much people wanted to talk about their culture. All of a sudden, that bad culture, was it a bad culture? It's sort of galvanising them against us type scenario.
Yeah, I love what they're doing this year. I think the $8 premiership odds, I think that's a great price for them. They've been really good. I was really excited about the game against Port Adelaide to see how they measure up, especially at the Adelaide Oval as well. We know how good Port are at home, and that was a great performance, a close game. They did what they needed to get over the line, and I think it's culture gets scrutinised whether you're going well, but it gets more scrutinised when you're not going well. So I think the wins that they've got really play into that, and I think Clayton Oliver should be really proud of the way that he's sort of handled all of the criticism that he's had come his way.
Gee, they look fit. Although to me, they look the fittest team in it, the most match hardened, ready to go side. Now, it's early days, you know, we're just into April, so a long way to go, but at the moment I thought they just ran all over the top of Port Adelaide. They would have been disappointed with their work rate late in quarters and in the final term, led by Max Gawn, who's a pitcher of fitness, so that will give them an advantage. They've stayed in Adelaide for the preparation for this one, so that's ideal, and you would think they've got too many weapons for Adelaide.
All right, kick the punters off, Kate, with a good same game multi for the weekend.
Yeah, so I've gone with the man that you just mentioned, Max Gawn, 15 plus. Previous few games, he's had 17, 26, and the 14 against Sydney, which obviously he needed to come back from. Matt Crouch, 25 disposal. He gets a lot of the footy, so I think he should be good for that. Cozzy Pickett, I think he's in great goal-kicking form at the moment. I love what Ben Brown brings to this team when he plays in the forward line. He gives them a key pillar for players like Cozzy Pickett to just lurk at his feet. And Josh Rochelli, I think anytime goal scorer, I think he's good for a goal in that game as well.
Brisbane, North Melbourne. Now, this is a game last year where Danaher and Hipwood kicked 9 goals between them. It's an opportunity, I think, to get them back into some form. Hipwood, we obviously do this before sides are announced. Hipwood maybe is an omission, I'm not sure. I'd play him to get him back into form. Last week, North Melbourne up against it with the two tools at Carlton, but Danaher and Hipwood loom large.
Yeah, they do. They definitely do. And it's interesting because Brisbane have been a little bit off. I think they probably should have beaten Collingwood on the weekend. They had enough opportunities. They've played Carlton, who we expect to be up the top, and they've played Freo. So Freo are going better than everyone expected. Things aren't going well there, but it wouldn't surprise me if they have a
big
win.
Did any of you play with Grippo? Did you ever play with Grippo?
I played with it once, put too much on, fell over in the first contest, and then had grass all over my hands. So
really?
I never played with it.
No Grippo?
Religiously.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Well, Hipwood needs some Grippo. Yeah. That's what he dropped that many balls. So if he puts some, Grippo on and catch the footy. But you're right, Brownie. Like, it's a great opportunity for him to bounce back. I think, you know, his place in the side should be questioned, but they'll give him one more week against North. They got no key defenders and he should load up.
He could have kicked 2 or 3 against Collingwood if he caught the ball, and he was in great position. The ball was delivered to him to his advantage, and he just didn't take the grab in the end. And so I think against North, he could really come back into some goal-kicking form.
Look, we probably think Brisbane still play finals, yeah? They've lost their first few, but can they win it from outside the top eight? Outside the top four?
Well, they can win it if they get on a run.
They can't win the premiership from outside the top eight.
Well, they can, but they've only lost 3 games.
Like, I know, but if they don't... if they don't make the top four...
They can't make the top four as an interstate side
with their record away from home. It's a mountain that's...
They finish 5th, I'd write them off.
Yeah, same. So they need to get their
Pack up if they finish 5th.
Just finish it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. Don't rock up.
Hey, you've been in the premiership window for a long time. Are they still in a premiership window, you think?
Oh, they're in a premiership window, and their list says that they are as well. They're still quite young in many facets of their team. They've got Ashcroft, they've got Fletcher coming through, Kitty Coleman's out for 12 months, but they've got players that'll keep them in the premiership window, but they're missing a big opportunity at the moment.
They've got potentially another Ashcroft too in the next draft as well coming through if they want to take him father-son too, who's equally as good, I've heard, as Will at the moment.
You know, I like this week, in a small ground over in Adelaide is Lachie Neal. So the cleanest player in the AFL. I think he had 13 clearances in this game last year on a small deck, but 25 plus, that goes in your same game multis. If you're confident, 30 plus as an outright bet for $2.40, but it's almost like if Lachie Neal doesn't have a good game in the midfield, who comes with him at the moment? Dunkley's been okay without being amazing.
So he's the one for me. Like, Lachie Neal will load up. He's played a lot of footy in Adelaide as well, so he'll know the conditions well. And he was really good against Collingwood, coming back off that hammy. So he looks sharp. But yeah, it's Dunkley. I don't think McCluggage has been as damaging as he has been previously. And Berry, players like that, that's where you need the bounce from Brisbane that they haven't been getting through the midfield.
Who are you putting on notice this week?
On notice is a player who, if you look at his numbers, they look pretty solid.
Good numbers.
Luke Davies-Uniacke is on notice from North. He needs to be the leader star of this midfield. So pre-season, you go, okay, who could win the Brownlow medal? And this guy has the potential to win a Brownlow medal. Hasn't kicked a goal this year. He handballs more than he kicks. And, you know, it's still high 20s, early 30s. But I want more impact from Luke Davies-Uniacke. I don't think he defends well enough. There's his numbers, or the odds for his numbers this weekend. And I hope, considering my record with who's on notice, that he gets 30 plus.
You say handballs more than he kicks.
Yeah.
Is he just one of those players that's a handballer and he does not have the assets on the outside?
He does, though, because he's the breakaway. He's the De Goey. He's the Petrarca type. He's got that potential. He's the Dangerfield.
A great step
so
as well.
He's the one. And, like, he's not a young midfielder anymore. Yeah, they're surrounded by young midfielders at North. He's got to be the one.
You're saying he's not using his assets.
He's not damaging enough.
Like, is it a coaching decision? Is that what's going on here? Because Tom Powell is the one that they're using more to be that kick player. So is it something that they've got wrong in the balance there where they're using Davies Uniacke in a position that you think he should be more on the, not the outside, but not getting his own footy, but delivering it to the forwards?
So he's the inside out. So I don't know what his pre-season was like. To me, it looks like he had a sloppy pre-season. That's, if I'm being brutally honest, how well has he prepared himself for this season and how fit is he? Because I watch him and go, yeah, you've got one effort, you don't have the twos and threes.
You can't tell, there's 0 kilos all down the list these
days. Exactly right.
Zero kilos. What a joke. Okay, it's going to be a massive weekend. They are the first couple of games. We're going to have a look at Friday night's games coming up. It's all about Gather Round Adelaide, and the first one up right now is Port Adelaide up against the Bombers. The Bombers were pretty good last week, coming from a fair way back against the Saints. I thought early the Essendon edge wasn't there, but Port Adelaide, I thought it was a final type atmosphere against Melbourne. I thought that's one of the best games of the year so far. But before we get into that one, Isaac Smith, we've got the old, what is this segment? No Mates in the Media. Have you found there's no mates in the media?
Well, it depends who your mates are, I guess. Yeah. I've got plenty.
Yeah? Yeah. Who are they?
Don't know.
Okay, so this is where we ask Isaac some questions in the media, and there's no fence sitting. You have to give an answer either way, because you are a bit of a fence sitter, me and Kane have noticed. Mm. Yeah. He doesn't sit on a fence.
That's why no one likes him.
Yeah, that's why I've got no friends.
All right, so Gather Round is here. Adelaide, can you see a Gather Round overseas?
I can, but what I like about the AFL and what they're doing, especially with this $1 billion of funding going into community footy over the next 10 years, is the AFL are trying to nail the Australian market. Let rugby league go and do that. I'm not sure you want to waste your dollars right at the moment on trying to do something overseas if you can't identify the market you want to nail. I reckon too often in the 90s they tried to hit something and it just didn't work. Screw down Australia, get it right, and then go big.
Bloody good answer.
Yeah, well, it is. He's doing some work for the AFL, so very complimentary of the AFL.
Hey, really?
Can I ask you, Ron? Your great mate Luke Bruce slips over in the forward line yesterday. Yeah. You're the most recently retired player out of us three. Why do players not wear screw-ins?
Well, I don't think you're allowed to wear
screw-ins. You are allowed to wear screw-ins.
You're allowed to wear the plastic screw-ins.
Yes, so why do they not wear... These are professional athletes that continually fall over.
Well, here, a lot of the brands don't make the screw-ins anymore.
Remember the old World Cups?
The other thing, and I've been on this with Triple M and I've been banging it, that is the Taylor Swift end where the stage was.
Right.
And we are seeing lots of players slip over. I'm not saying Taylor's had anything to do with it, but Tom Stewart went to deck before Luke Bruce put it in.
What about the commentary over that?
Yeah, it was a
bit silly. Lauded Tom Stewart. They put doubt in his... Tom Stewart fell over. It's just the fact that then Luke Bruce stepped around him and then fell over. Tom Stewart did nothing.
And I never wore screw-ins in my whole career.
That's a disgrace.
Yeah, but I never got a hardball.
At risk of being Dangerfield, calling me a dinosaur. Yeah. Exactly. Mark Williams used to check
out
boots
before
the game. Oh, I needed the screw-ins. I was a professional.
You would have been faster. You would have been able to tag me
on the MCG. And these clowns aren't wearing screwing boots. Doesn't
all right.
Hurt
him. Last one for you. We saw a lot of players getting some feedback over the weekend over the fence.
Yeah.
Who were the worst fans over the fence?
Oh, Port Adelaide, hands down. Hands down.
Good looking crowd.
I will say that my favourite game to play each year was Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. I feel like Port Adelaide has the best pre-match. But their fans are feral.
Okay, speaking of Port Adelaide, they've got a big game against the Bombers, and they come up against Jake Stringer, who's in nice form, 10 goals in his three games. Kyle Langford is the other one up forward. Will pose some issues.
Yeah, no, he will. And so Zerk Thatcher has been really good, I think. He's done a great job on Tom Stewart and did the job on Bailey Fritch pretty well. So there, I think he gets the Jake Stringer matchup. So if you think Zerk Thatcher is going to have another successful outing on Essendon's most dangerous forward, I think, then don't put your money on 3+ for Jake Stringer. So Zerk Thatcher's in good form. He'll get the job and has been doing it pretty well. There's Langford. So the matchup for Langford, I'm not sure. He's an interesting one, isn't he? He's an interesting size, plays tall, but can kick his goals on the ground as well.
Yeah, so they've got their two talls back there, obviously Alirelia and Radigalia. So it's who of those two takes him and then plays
maybe
sort
Broadbent,
of that.
Maybe Broadbent, I guess.
What's that?
Maybe Broadbent. Yeah.
Your mate Broadbent.
And my man Ben Mackay will probably get my man Charlie Dixon.
Yeah, no, he will.
He will.
It's a good matchup for him.
Think so.
And
yep.
Both players have been pretty good form. I'd love Charlie Dixon to get his goal kicking right. He's been clanking them, but you just don't trust him from 35 metres out directly in front, unfortunately. He's not alone. Port Adelaide's inaccuracy cost them against Melbourne, and it's cost them all year.
All right, Charlie Dixon there. There's his markets. 2+ goals, $1.40. Not a bad one to put in the same game, Moldy. Andrew McGrath has found some form. I mean, they've moved him around. They've tried him in multiple different roles, but he seemed a little bit more settled this year.
Yeah, I like what Brad Scott's doing with Essendon. We talked about Adelaide earlier, and I think Essendon are in that same mould where they're not ready to win a premiership yet, but they do have some talent, and McGrath being pick number one in the draft. I still don't know if they've nailed what his number one position is and how he's going to best suit that team when they're in the go zone to win a premiership. So I still feel like he's playing great footy, but I still think they're not 100% sure where his best footy's going to come.
Been getting a stack of it. You can see 30 plus there, $4. But he probably goes to Rioli, who will keep him busy for Port Adelaide. He's the most dangerous forward, and sometimes McGrath takes that job. That's where I like him. I like him putting his hand up to take the opposition's best small forward. Hasn't done it a lot this year. He's been more offensive, but he may need to do that against Port Adelaide Friday night.
There's certain bits of value at the start of the round you would like to know at the end of the round, and this is one from last week. So Nick Martin,
wow.
40-plus disposals at 19. Now, he had 44. You've only given him 38 because he had
kick-ins,
six kick-ins,
Brownie, which you love.
What about the double-ups from the kick-ins as well?
Yeah, I didn't even measure that. That's a club record, though.
It is. What I will say is Port Adelaide defenders this week, because Essendon give up huge numbers to those defenders. So I'm thinking Burton. I'm thinking Boak on the wing as well. He'll get a fair bit of it.
But if they keep kicking as inaccurately as they have been, he'll get a number of kickouts as well. So that's a few you can chalk him up for straight away.
West Coast up against Sydney. So Sydney obviously dropped one to Richmond last week, which they were not expecting. Isaac Heaney in the form of his career, second favourite for the Brownlow at the moment. Been calling about playing this guy in the midfield for a long time, and he's finally in there and he's getting a good run at it. Even if other players come back, I think he stays in there.
Yeah, so big disposals and also maximum damage because he's got that forward craft. He can drift forward from the midfield and get a matchup that he likes. There's the Brownlow medal market, and he's good value. You just wonder whether Chad Warner and Gordon are the two that will take votes off him at the moment, and whether when the cavalry comes back with Mills and Parker, whether he goes to play more forward.
Yeah, and one that I think will come back into the team this week would be Taylor Adams. He played VFL 3/4 of it on the weekend, got through fine. So
does he take James Jordan's spot?
I think potentially.
Yeah, I reckon.
That's probably the spot that will open up for him. It depends how brutal they're willing to be, though, at Sydney. It's going to be a tough call.
Hey, West Coast are giving up big numbers to Ruckman. So this is what they've done in the first 3 weeks. So Brody Grundy, for me, this weekend should be hard to stop. He's a possession beast. So Soldo first weekend, 14 disposals, 2 goals. Briggs, 21. And English best on ground last week, 17 disposals and 2 goals. Now, Brody Grundy averages around the 20 disposal market. So I think with his ability around the stoppage, 20 plus for Brody Grundy this week goes into your same game multis. And Jake Lloyd is one of the other ones that takes the kick out. There's his disposals there. Round 1 against the Pies wasn't that good, but outside that you can see he's averaging 20. And then Jake Lloyd with the kick-ins as well. So he's had 11 kick-ins the last 2 weeks, Jake Lloyd, and he's played on every time. Did you ever take the kick out?
Yeah. I did.
And you played on it?
No, I can honestly say that I would make an example not to play on, because it irritates you. Like, play on and take the grass. Too often in the game at the moment, people aren't taking the grass, but you see the little half step out. If you're going to go, take it on.
I had a small forward that plays at a club contact me this week, Brownie, and he said...
Say it again.
I had a small forward that plays at a club this week contact me, and he said, you are spot on with your kick-out theory, because I run 12 Ks a week for 8 touches, and these guys just go and get the ball and get a free kick every time, and it does my head in. There's Lloyd. He'll do it. You wonder how many behinds West Coast actually kick.
Well, as a punter, though, you've got to understand that these are free possessions.
No, it's good for the punters.
Nazaia Wanganeen Miller, so many kickouts as well. So you'd have to back him every week. Who are some of the other ones? Luke Ryan at Fremantle. He's another one that you take. 18 of his 20 kickouts the last 3 weeks, he's played on. So 90% of the time, that's 18
Whitfield at the Giants, these
Whitfield
players.
Whitfield at the Giants.
You can't tell me if all three of you were a back pocket getting the opportunity to take kick-ins, though, you wouldn't just step over the line just to
get that extra. Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. So
well.
Like Nick Martin, he only had one step out.
That was what, half a step.
Yeah,
that's a kick.
You need to take advantage of these opportunities in footy. It's hard to get a kick.
West Coast Eagles, do you give them any chance at all?
No, I don't give them any chance.
Will they win a game for the year?
Oh, round 13.
I think
you had them beating the Bulldogs at the start.
Yeah, look, that was if the Bulldogs were in a different position coming into that round. I think next week they play the Tigers, and we know how decimated the Tigers are. That'll give us a good gauge of, okay, where is this team really at? And I don't think they'll beat them, even with the injuries that the Tigers have. Tom Lynch out now, Bolter out. I actually still don't see them beating Richmond next week. And I think they're almost in a worse position than they were last year.
Sydney last week and how they couldn't score, did it change your opinion of them for a premiership outfit?
No, it didn't, but more teams are going to work them out. So when Richmond bring that sort of pressure rating through the roof, and also their tackle numbers, Sydney struggled. So that's what they can expect, because their backline ball movement is so good. When teams bring the heat, can they stand up to it? I think they can.
All right, same game multi for this game. And I've got Brody Grundy in there. So I had a look at the stats and I like him. So I think Heaney and Warner play mainly through the midfield and a heap of numbers. West Coast won't tag, so they go head-to-head, and Lloyd goes to halfback. They've had some injuries, so now he's taking the kickouts, as you saw. So $3.75 for that one. Plenty more to come on In the Back Pocket.
Look at that.
It's just straight through the middle. Isaac Smith's pumped, the Hawks pumped in game 350.
Sends it in the Marbury Child direction. He's got a chance out the back. Big Marbury. Got it!
And Ginnivan's getting in there, just really getting under their skin as well.
Got Jeremy Cameron out the back, in front, Conway.
Here he is. Get around him.
Here's the Wizard, front and centre, snaps towards goal!
Isaac, you couldn't lose it on Monday, could you?
Couldn't lose yesterday, Gee. You see vision like that and you think, what a peanut. But it was awesome. I've got plenty of mates that play for Hawthorne and plenty that play for Geelong.
Who are you barracking for?
I was barracking for Hawke yesterday in the 350th.
Makes sense as to why you asked me to move seats now. I was in that seat pre-game and then I just had to shuffle to the side. Isaac wanted the
You wouldn't have even known you were there with the amount of
really
camera.
We didn't see you.
So we don't want to say there's a camera on either side.
Demanding your time, Isaac Smith. All right, let's get into some games. Fremantle and Carlton. This is going to be absolutely big. It kicks off a double header. Both are 3-0 at the moment.
Sorry, what teams are we talking about?
I had a little bit of a mumble.
Fremantle and Carlton are playing each other.
Making me feel good.
They are. One team's going to be undefeated after this game. So, I mean, we wouldn't have expected that from Fremantle. Their win against Brisbane really set up their season, then dominant, particularly in the back half against Adelaide. So the fact that it is on a neutral ground also adds a different element to it. And there's good matchups everywhere. So Pierce has been in ripping form, the skipper of Fremantle, and he goes probably to Harry Mackay, I would have thought. So that's a great matchup. And then who goes to Curnow? Perhaps Luke Ryan, but Fremantle's back six is stacked and Carlton's front six, we know how potent they are.
Let's have a look at that back line and what they've done over the last couple of weeks, because they've been miserly in defence. So Larky only kicked one goal one, and then last week they kept Taylor Walker and Fogarty to three behinds between them. It's a different ball game though with Curnow and Mackay, who obviously was so good last week between them, but two plus for Charlie Curnow. It's almost a starting point, Charlie Curnow, for two plus.
Yeah, it almost is. You almost start there and then work your way up. I think both of them so good. Obviously against North Melbourne, a defence that's nothing like what they're going to come up against with Freo, but I'm really excited for this one. I think it's going to be a great game. And as you said, Kane, winner of this comes out undefeated. And I don't think either of those we probably would have imagined be undefeated, considering Carlton played Brisbane at home round zero. Going well, both teams.
Luke Jackson in the ruck, so a permanent on-baller pretty much at the moment. So obviously, they've got some injury concerns to their other ruckman, but this has just allowed this man to pick up possessions at will, and he's been pushing forward on just about every occasion and putting pressure on his opposing ruckman, and he's been kicking goals as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I love Jackson. I love his flexibility and his ability to play different positions, and will he turn into an old ruck rover type or a centre-half forward? But I'm interested to see when Darcy comes back into the side. He's been so influential in the position he's playing. And I guess they're paying Darcy a lot of money to be there, and how they're going to fit both of them in the side.
You'd have to be another club trying to get Darcy out now, wouldn't you? You'd be looking at that going, oh, I've got a ruckman now. If I can get him for six, seven, potentially out years, might have to pay a little bit extra. But, I mean, he's still a very good ruckman himself.
Yeah.
I mean, but guys like Jackson don't grow on trees, so you have to keep him and mould him into what you want.
And you have to play him in the ruck because neither of them are forwards. He's just signed for 7 years, Darcy, though, at Fremantle.
I'm guessing so close to $1 million.
If he doesn't want to be traded, he can say, no, I'm really happy here. I'm settled at Freo. So one of the other matchups is Tom De Koning as well, though, up against Luke Jackson. So two young ruckmen that are probably going to play against each other for the next 10 years, and they're really similar. They're both athletic. Jackson's a better player, but De Koning's got a really bright future as well, keeping Pittnett out of the side.
As you know, I love the kick-in king. There's no bigger kick-in king than Luke Ryan, so you can't miss him. He's got the blonde hair at the moment. 18 of his last 20 kick-ins, so that is three games worth. That is 18 free possessions, a 90% kick-in play-on rate. He just has to step outside that square, and you'd be mad not to have these sort of guys in your same game multis every week.
High uncontested mark player as well, so that's where he gets the big numbers there. You can see 30-plus, 420, probably unlikely, but
you had 25-plus last week.
Yeah, because they do possess the ball a lot in their back half, so not only will they take the kick-outs, high uncontested mark, they chip it around a bit before they find an option that they're really confident with. They play a safer game style Fremantle, which tends itself to the halfbacks and key defenders is having a bit of the footy.
Who are you tipping this game?
Yeah, I think Carlton have more weapons and I just think they're a better unit. I still think Fremantle will struggle to make the eight even though they've started 3-0.
I'm going to go Fremantle with this one. I think that Carlton are riding the wave. They're going so well and I just think a little bit of challenge coming their way, and I think Fremantle, what we saw last week, their defence, I think it might be strong enough.
Yeah, we're on the Purple Haze.
Purple Haze?
Yeah, I like what they're doing at the moment defensively. Carlton are a very attacking team, and I think Freo's midfield's probably just on top of Carlton's without Walsh at the moment. So if they can get on top there, lock their defence down, Carlton want to score and have lots of shots on goal, I can see if the Purple A's getting up.
That's a really good game too. There's a lot of really good games in Gather Round. I thought Gather Round's games last year weren't up to scratch, as in big build-up games, but then you've got the Western Bulldogs and Geelong as the later game in this one as well. And this is huge. So the Cats are going well, as we know. They're 3-0. The Bulldogs have bounced back. Kate, this game, who are you rating?
Yeah, look, I think this game has more repercussions for the Bulldogs than it has Geelong. I think we haven't really seen, apart from that first round where they were very disappointing against Melbourne, we haven't really seen them challenge. They've been able to now have two rounds where they've settled into their game style. Even first quarter against West Coast, they weren't great, but they were able to rest a few of their stars in that game. Libba took the boots off at three-quarter time. Bont's a question mark with his ankle, I think. I've seen a little bit about that might be a bit more serious, but
had a lot more forward last week.
He did. He sat in the forward line really most of the game, and I think that was to kind of give Sanders the development that he needs through the middle. But I think Geelong probably have the wood, but I'm really excited to see what the Western Bulldogs put together against a team of Geelong's calibre at this time of the season.
So where it says 121 here, Kate rates?
Yes. Yeah. So, Kate Raitt. So, I just wanted to turn your attention to something
this
that
is your
pops
segment.
Up. This
I'm going to get a stinger built for this as well.
Yeah, good. So, Kate Raitt. So, last week, had a same game multi against Geelong. So, big little win.
You're rating your own punting.
Yep,
what
I am.
So, have a look at that.
Isaac Smith's rubbing off on you.
Yep, he is. I thought, you know what, everyone else brings their best to this, so I'm going to bring my own best. I thought the Hawks would be good enough to, I thought they wouldn't get the win, but close enough to be 1-39. Cameron to kick 2 or more and Hawkins 4 or more. And geez, how good was it when Jeremy Cameron handed off that last handball?
That is one of the greatest multis I've ever seen.
Tom Hawkins, it was paying $11. Congratulations to the 71 punters that got on the feed, followed it and jumped on. So make sure you get on the feed, follow it. We're all on there, obviously giving our best each week. That was an $11 one you could have jumped on.
It's a lot better than what I'm doing. So Sportsbet's the feed. You can follow all sorts of punters, whether it's racing, football, NRL. They're all on there and it's very easy to click a bet. $11 winner. Well done. Congratulations.
That's now
you're
Kate
the club, clubhouse
herself.
Leader at the moment.
Yeah.
Now this game, halfback flankers. So both sides give up a lot of positions to halfback flankers. So for me, Tom Stewart looms large. If he plays well in this game, I mean, the Cats win.
Yeah, well, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, you go.
He will, but does he play on someone taller? Does he have to play on a Hugo Hagen? Or it wouldn't be Darcy, but, I mean, Norton's down there as well. So the triple talls for the Dogs may force him to get less of the footy and play a more defensive role, which he can do, Isaac.
Yeah, I think they will. Easter Monday against Hawthorn, he sat a kick behind the play. He was the backstop the whole day. No one put a finger in his back and he got to do exactly what he wanted, except when Luke Bruce stepped him and he slipped over. But he's as good a defender as there is in the comp. But he needs to defend someone from that Western Bulldogs forward line, I would think. But they do have Kolodziejczyk and Henry that can lock players down as well. So he does get the license to float a bit.
Do we feel like Jones might go to Hawkins and Karmas out centre-half back on Jeremy Cameron?
Well, that's the concern, isn't it, for the Western Bulldogs? I mean, the Geelong
forward line Karmas has been pretty good.
So if you're looking at that, the way that this guy's moving, 4-plus at 550, Kate got that one in her multi last week, you'd be thinking he's going to be able to do that again, and Jeremy Cameron. So there's also Ollie Henry and the smalls that deliver the ball as good as any. Tyson Stengel back into form. I love Geelong's front six headlined by those two, and Ollie Henry plays the perfect third tall role, and for 3-plus at some stage this guy's going to kick 6, whether it's this week against the Dogs, wouldn't be surprised.
Beautiful
if
set shot too, isn't it?
He's beautiful,
and if you're punting on him you can be almost guaranteed, like a Bailey Fritsch, you're not going to miss too many.
And you look at the amount of ball that the Western Bulldogs give up, they're not really a defensive team. They allow the team to transition the ball from back half to forward 50 pretty efficiently, so that sets it up for the forwards to have a big day.
Same game multi, Isaac.
Yeah, I found this one a little bit difficult because I think it's a toss of the coin game. So I went all the forwards here and put Tom Hawkins for one, Cameron for one, Stengel for one, Norton for one, Hagen for one, Waitman for one.
A lot of effort for 250.
250.
Gee, that's
250.
Yeah. That's well, I expect them all to kick
in. Smarties with that. Okay, $2.50. Well, you can't go broke making a profit with Isaac Smith. Hey, that's a massive Saturday. We're going to look at the Sunday games coming up. Hello and welcome to In the Back Pocket. Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy, Kane Corn. Sunday, gather round. It's going to be some good games. There's some Brownlow contenders going around in this. Both these sides had a bye last week, the Giants and also the Suns. Ripping game. Probably the biggest game that these two sides have played, I would have thought, against each other since coming into the sides.
Yeah, I reckon this is a cracking game this weekend to gather around, and I'm not sure how many people are going to go out and watch, but I think you get an awesome game of footy. GWS, probably the best team in the competition at the moment, and I love what Gold Coast have been doing, so I feel like it'll be a bit closer than what people think.
Midfields are stacked. You saw
the head-to-head, Rowell and Green.
Well, that's it. Two real strong contenders for the Brownlow medal. It's a really good test for Gold Coast in the midfield, which has been strong, but there's Tom Green, who is a 30-plus machine, isn't he? Like, he's in and around the action and can get sort of 20 by halftime and you haven't really noticed him yet, but he's high up in the Brownlow markets and going head-to-head, hopefully, with Rao. We saw Libra and Rao go at it. I'd love to see that matchup. Can those two go at it for the majority of the game?
Well, there's good matchups everywhere. So Jesse Hogan, been playing some great football, as we know. Probably the best in-form forward in the comp at the moment, coming up against Collins, who is a very good player as well. So how do you see that one, Kate?
Yeah, I think they'll go head-to-head, obviously, in that line. But I just love how strong Sam Collins is in the one-on-one wrestle. I know Hogan, I think his weapon is going to have to be leading up at the footy. So I think that'll be the most impressive thing from him. If he gets on the move, if he tries to just wrestle one-on-one though, I think it'll be a difficult day for him, but we know the service he gets from those mids at GWS, so if they can put the ball out to his advantage, he'll be hard to stop.
How do you stop the Orange Tsunami? Because it is like, it was big 4 or 5 years ago, but I think it's as best as it's been because they run both ways at the moment. And obviously Lachie Whitfield, I think he went missing for at least 2 years, couldn't get a kick, and all of a sudden he's back playing unbelievable football and he takes the kick out.
Not alone, because their senior players have come back with a vengeance. So he's one of those. You can see the 30-plus market there is probably where it sits, because he does take the kick outs and get a lot of handball receives and uses as well. But Canelio is another player who's back in form, Kelly as well. So that has really led the resurgence, and the balance between their senior players and the youngsters coming through is the perfect demographic to potentially win the premiership this year.
I like what Kingsley's done. I feel like he went up there 12 months ago and gave a little bit of tough love. I think it was a pretty tough pre-season. There were some honest truths, and now you're seeing the best of the GWS football side.
Toby Green set a lot up as well. We haven't seen that yet. He's had a quiet, which is frightening for the
opposition.
As positive
as you are, you love a bit of tough love though, don't you?
I do love tough love, yeah.
Yeah. Clarko was very good on the tough love.
Yeah, he was.
Very direct.
I don't think he ever mixed a word.
Okay, Richmond and the Saints. The Tigers so good last week, but so unlucky. So you lose Tom Lynch and you lose Noah Bolter, two of your biggest guys, and probably two of your most competitive guys as well.
And the guy that you'd replace him or both of them with was Gibkiss, who's also done his knee. I think this one just raises the question around if there is that need for the mid-season trade period. I think they'd be looking for a key forward to bring in at this time, because who knows how long Tom Lynch is going to be out for. I think Bolton, he was good on the weekend. Really impressed with him. I'm just questioning how he gets his sort of the footy inside 50 now with that. Who's the key target? Who's going to be the one that really keeps them straightened up in the forward line for him to then either get the front and centre or to break out on
he
the inside?
He needs to go to Nathan Brown Finishing School, Shea Bolton. Well, he's kicking. Yeah. Whilst he was solid.
He gets himself in awful positions when he kicks the ball. So when he has a snap at goal, he's almost facing the goals and trying to expect that that snap's going to work. His shoulder's got to be facing the middle of the goal, and he rushes it. He's very quick to rush it, so I don't know why he does that.
Even his field kicking, he's so happy to kick really across the body.
Yeah.
And we see that translating with his goal kicking as well. He can be facing that way when the goals are there, and he's happy to have a crack from it.
You talk about that, Brownie. Adam Uzo was one of the best at teaching how to kick, so I'm not sure if he's going to take his hat off as the senior coach and go and do a little bit of that, but I feel like Shai Bolton and Uzo were the same player, I reckon you could learn a bit off him.
Do we see something a bit different this week? And so he just says, everyone up, everyone out. So you just crowd the midfield. We're going to leave Dustin Martin one out, Gary Ablett senior style.
I like it because he's going to play, and really he's their only hope of kicking you four or five. Like, who else in the Richmond side is capable? It's Bolton and Martin, capable of kicking you three plus. So if Dusty plays a little bit deeper, there was some talk that he was going to play more midfield pre-season. Haven't seen that much at all. Still an effective player, hasn't had the numbers this year that he had last year, but if they're going to win, Dustin Martin probably needs to kick four plus.
Coming back from a soft tissue as well, you're not going to roll him through the midfield, are you, with a sort of interrupted pre-season and then coming back through. So, yeah, I'd say he'll sit deep. You can rely on him at least for a goal or two each game, I reckon, yeah. Dustin Martin.
Well, I backed him a couple of weeks ago and he missed out, so that's pretty disappointing. So, Max King, that's the issue that Richmond have got. So, he's had a freshen up. It's a small ground, so I would imagine that he does not leave the goal square at all this weekend, Max King. So, I'm not sure who goes to him and how they can control him, but I'd be starting at three. I think I've got him in the same game multi with three.
Yeah, Tyler Young probably is the matchup, and then try and get Vlosten coming across as the interceptor is probably the only way. But Memory's been in good form. Higgins, the small forward's been in good form. There's Max King's numbers. And he's a player, we've spoken about him on this program, that could explode this year. That leap in your sort of sixth, seventh year that the Hawkins and Jack Riebolt types have made, I think Max King is capable of doing that this
Something
year.
Something extraordinary during the week that Nick Vlosten is not an All-Australian.
He's been unreal this year already as well. I reckon he's been hurt by Tom Stewart. If Tom Stewart wasn't around, I feel like Nick Vlosten
might have been. He's a five-time.
Yeah, I feel like Nick Vlosten might have been known as one of the premier All-Australian defenders over the last 7 or 8 years.
Mm. It's going to be difficult for him this year if they lose a lot of games of footy, but there's his numbers, of course. And he does play that quarterback wicket-keeper role as good as anyone.
So then we round it out with Collingwood up against Hawthorn, the last game of Gather Round. Collingwood bounced back last week. Not sure what we get from the Hawks at the moment. One week, they're pretty ordinary. The next week, they play a great quarter, then they drop off as well. But what I do know is I'm going to be watching Jack Ginnivan. He's up against his old side for the first time. He ruffled a few feathers on Monday playing against the Cats as well. So he's been playing okay footy. He's been getting a fair bit of the football. Then going out of games though.
Interesting scheduling this one. Ginnivan playing Collingwood. You think they might have scheduled that at the MCG. He is that person that the crowd really want to get up against. And Finn McGuinness against Dacos did a number on him last year. So there was some backstories there, but I think Collingwood are just way too strong for him.
I think it is. And Ginnivan's got to work out other ways kick his goals. And when he kicked 40, I think it was, early on in his career, a lot of those were from free kicks. Now the umpire's not paying him the free kicks, and I think unfairly, and we saw that on Easter Monday. Any other player gets those free kicks, but the AFL and the umpires won't give them to him. So he's got to work out other ways to kick his goals. But yeah, I wonder how he's going to cope. You've played against your old side. It takes a bit of mental resilience.
It does, and it's easier when you know your old side, the side you're playing with is going to put up a big fight. At the moment, you're not sure at Hawthorn if you're going to get the fight or not. So that's where he'll be a little bit concerned, and I'm sure Collingwood will come after him.
I think he thrives on that, though. I think the more they come after him, and I think they'll know that. I think the more they come after him, the more work they put into him, the more he actually rises to the occasion. We saw what he did on Anzac Day under a bit of scrutiny. We've seen sort of when his back's against the wall, he actually is someone that loves it. He's up for the fight. So I wouldn't be surprised if we sort of see no reaction from Collingwood. Yes, anytime you sort of go past him, a little bump on him, but I think they might know the more work they put into him as a team, he might sort of really backfire and it'll get him up and about.
I agree. What did you have the first time against the Hawks when you were playing with the Cats?
Well, I had gastro. Yeah, it wasn't great.
What about the time after that?
Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember going into the Easter Monday clash and I got gastro
Sunday. One of those things where he doesn't have a good answer for. No. That's the first time I've ever seen you not have a good answer for something.
Yeah, no, I didn't get near it. But the one thing I will say about Jack Ginnivan, and the one thing I've learnt since he's gone across to Hawthorn, is he's a genuine football nerd and he knows everything about football and he's fully engaged in absolutely everything they do, and Hawthorn are loving what he's bringing to the club.
No Mitch Lewis hurts for the Hawks as well. So how they kick a winning score, I'm not exactly sure. Charles been pretty solid, but Mitch Lewis is their star forward and Collingwood had that hunger back.
Is that restored faith?
Well, it has. I never lost full faith in them, but you were concerned, particularly if they lost against Brisbane. But the 85 tackles, the pressure rating through the roof, and they've got that hunger back, which says it was motivation more so than any game plan issues.
I'll tell you what, the Wizard Watson needs to get out his wand and start like through the goals, because he's everywhere at the moment. He's exciting, but I want him to kick goals.
Well, it's funny, in his under 18 year, he was kicking goals from everywhere. I feel like AFL footy, the occasion and all that, is getting to him at the moment. Once he can take a breath, calm that heart rate down. He did some amazing things on Easter Monday, but he just didn't finish. I think once he gets going, he's going to be...
That goal that he missed from the square, if that was any other player, we would have seen that replayed 30 times. It was almost as bad as Richo's, to be honest.
Let's have a look at the multi.
We haven't seen it.
Josh Bruce's a couple of years ago. Yeah. Remember that one?
For this game, I haven't been as successful as Kate yet, but there it is. Collingwood, I think Hawthorn beat Collingwood late last year, so I think it's going to be a little bit closer than what we think. Pendlebury has his form back. I thought he was pretty good against Brisbane, and Mychek put him in for
a little bit off Mychek so far this year, hasn't he?
So he's going to...
$4.50, not bad odds there. So that's the last game of the Gather Round. That's been In the Back Pocket. Kane, Kate, and also Isaac Smith. We'll see you next week.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.